It is the last day of January 2014, and from the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the Sons of Otis Malone bring all kinds of instruments into our studio and play two songs from their new CD, Bad Country.
Plus, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com on the week that was in Arkansas business and politics, and the dreaded white nose syndrome has been found in bats in Arkansas.
First, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality is offering a program to help clean hazardous substances found on a person's property without penalty. The program is for those responsible for a possible contamination on their land and is intended to last no more than 2 years per case. Chief of the department's Hazardous Waste Division, Tammy Hynum, says participants are assisted by the department in investigating and disposing of the substances without penalty they could face otherwise.
We do think that the Elective Sites Cleanup Program is a good program for responsible parties, and we think that it gets the contamination areas in the state of Arkansas cleaned up, and the responsible party at the end of the day, you know, does get the comfort of coming forward and doing the right thing and cleaning up the environment.
While participants do not face any fines associated with the contamination, the Department of Environmental Quality does say fees may be incurred for professional services.
Bella Vista residents may see smoke in the air at some point in the coming weeks. The Property Owners Association is planning controlled burns at Loch Lomond and Lake Windsor Dams during the month of February. Burn dates will be determined by the weather, humidity, and local burn bans. The POA has requested the controlled burns because the dense brush is making it difficult for personnel to get to the dams for maintenance issues and because large roots can loosen the soil, weakening the dams and causing erosion.
Arkansas senators say they'll support the farm bill that has already been passed in the U.S. House of Representatives. The bill has been years in the works, though some conservatives feel there are not enough cuts in spending included in the bill. Arkansas Senator John Bozeman was part of a conference committee that worked out a final deal.
We spent a couple of years trying to get a good compromise, and I think that the product that we came up with will represent all of the regions of agriculture and really put a good safety net under the various regions, the various producers that have different needs so that they can go to the bank very soon, make planning decisions, and then carry on.
Senator Bozeman says he hopes the Senate votes on the bill quickly, saying it will be very beneficial to the state.
In Arkansas, this is 18-19% of our economy. And for most states, that's the same story. So I think a lot of members are anxious to get this behind us so that our farmers, ranchers, producers can go forward with some certainty. And this is something that will create jobs and boost the economy.
Democratic Senator Mark Pryor is also supporting the compromise, saying it will help Arkansas's agriculture industry, which accounts for 1 in 6 jobs in the state. Final passage is expected, and President Obama has said he will sign the bill.
Arkansas Election Commission officials are working to find a solution on how to treat absentee ballots in the wake of the 2013 voter ID law. The law requires voters to provide ID or proof of address, but does not address what to do if absentee voters do not send in the newly required forms. Craighead County recently ran into this issue during a special election, and after consulting the Secretary of State, gave voters an extension on showing some form of identification. Arkansas County Election Commission Vice President Stuart Soffer.
I commend Craighead County folks for erring on the side of the voter. The legislature, at the earliest opportunity, needs to clarify the law.
The American Civil Liberties Union says the fact that the votes were ever even in question violates the rights of voters. Holly Dixon, legal director for the Arkansas chapter, says they're working to protect those rights and that the Craighead election was the
first time this law has ever been applied in Arkansas. So this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of how it will play out here. But it's not out of line with what we've seen happen to the rights of voters in other states.
Many other Arkansas counties are now holding election commission meetings to discuss absentee ballot procedures going forward.
4 area cities have again been named Arkansas Volunteer Communities of the Year. Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Van Buren, and Bentonville were included in the list of 12 2013 Award recipients chosen by the Governor's Office, the Arkansas Department of Human Services, and the Arkansas Municipal League. According to the City of Fayetteville, more than 38,000 volunteers who gave more than 657,000 hours of volunteer work in the community created a $14.5 million economic impact for the city.
The Northwest Arkansas metro area again is being recognized as one of the most affordable areas to live in the United States. Yesterday, the Springdale Chamber of Commerce announced that in the latest cost of living index ranking by the Council for Community and Economic Research, Northwest Arkansas Metro was ranked 31st most affordable metro area in the country out of 308 metro areas surveyed last year. According to the report, the cost of living in the four-county area is 11.3% below the national average cost of living. The ranking is based on the price of consumer goods from six different areas. Of particular note, housing costs in Northwest Arkansas are 24% lower than the national average.
The Arkansas Razorback women's basketball team is now 2-6 in SEC play after dropping a 10-point decision to Tennessee last night. Overall, Arkansas is 15-6.
Cloudy tonight, 40% chance of rain after midnight in Northwest Arkansas, and a 30% chance of rain after midnight for the Arkansas River Valley. Lows throughout the region, upper 40s to around 50. Tomorrow, cloudy, 50% chance of rain. Highs will be in the upper 40s, but then falling into the 30s by the evening in Northwest Arkansas. It's a 40% chance of rain tomorrow for the Arkansas River Valley. Highs around 53, but then falling into the mid-40s. Then tomorrow night, cloudy, lows from 28 to 33. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. How are you on this Friday?
I'm doing well, and I guess we need to get ready for some nasty weather coming in, though.
That's what they say, and admittedly, all of the local meteorologists say it's still a little bit too early to tell, but it seems like we're going to get something out of it.
Okay, well, come on, March.
Well, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
How about just come on, sunny skies and 75?
75 is good.
Yes.
No humidity.
There you go. Home sales figures for Arkansas for the entirety of 2013 came out, and if you were a realtor, you probably were happy.
Yeah, well, if you weren't happy, then nothing's going to make you happy. Yeah, Arkansas's four large markets, and that's the CityWire's home sales report. That's what we look at, the four large markets. It's Central Arkansas, Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas, and Jonesboro. It counts for about 70% to 75% of total sales. But they were up in those four markets almost 13% and up a little over 15% compared to 2011. So definitely a good year. And I think, you know, Kyle, we've been watching the Arkansas market, especially there in Northwest Arkansas, for some time. And I think you can say for the first time since 2007 that the market is back on its feet again. Last year it did well, but I think, you know, having two good years with the home value still strong, I think it's safe to say they've recovered. I'm sure some of the bankers up there may have another opinion on that, but from the real estate side, it's looking good. And the only thing we're hearing in terms of a negative is, of course, some of the weather, maybe pushing some sales forward, and a concern about interest rates, and interest rates have been creeping up. So we'll see if the trend lasts into 2014, but so far, so good.
So far, so good for Tyson Foods in 2014. Their first quarter numbers came out this morning and blew past the Wall Street estimates.
Yeah, not just a little bit. Wall Street was expecting them to earn about 64 cents per share, which was going to be about $226 million. They announced this morning, Tyson announced this morning, earnings of 72 cents per share on income of 254 million. So very good. Their chicken segment, which is, you know, obviously one of their, that's their bread and butter, so to speak. Their operating income in that segment was $225 million, and it was just $100 million for the same quarter last year. So they did well, and it also shows that, as Tyson has been telling us, that the consumer is shifting away from higher-priced beef and some higher-priced pork back to chicken, and I think that's evident there. And, you know, Tyson, you know, we're not just looking at Tyson, we're looking at the U.S. consumer, because Tyson sells so much chicken in the U.S. that it kind of gives you a sense of what overall the consumer is doing all around the country. So good news for Tyson on an economic level. You know, if the consumer is really having to push that much back to chicken, that may not be a good sign on an economic level.
Walmart has an official earnings report coming out in a few weeks, but early indications are that it will not be as rosy.
Right. It's not. And here again, just like with Tyson, even more so with Walmart, I mean, that's definitely, you know, the direction Walmart goes gives you a good idea of what the consumer is doing and what the consumer is thinking. And they came out today and said their previous guidance, where they expected about a 10 cents per share hit, now that's up to 26% or 26 cents. And Kyle, if you look at their shares outstanding, that's about an $842 million hit they expect against their earnings for the fourth quarter. Now, their quarter ends January 31st, ends today. And they'll report earnings on February 20th, which will be Doug McMillon's first earnings report. So,
because his first day in his new job is tomorrow?
Yeah, his first day is tomorrow. So 20 days into the job, he's going to get to deal with a less than pretty earnings report. They're also seeing their same-store sales for Walmart could either be negative or flat. And they're blaming this on the winter weather, which you know, they say there have been 8 named winter storms that have impacted their stores around the country. And they're also saying that the reduction in the food stamp benefits, if you remember in 2009 as part of the stimulus program, those benefits were increased. Well, as of late last year, they were dialed back to the normal rate. And that's, you know, that Walmart says that's hurting them because those SNAP benefits, according to estimates, they're about 10% of the total U.S. grocery business. And grocery is about $150 to $155 billion business for Walmart. So that's, again, Doug McMillon, you know, welcome to the job.
This week, the Bureau of Labor, the U.S. Bureau of Labor, issued statistics about job growth in metropolitan areas that are well in excess of 350 that are measured. Much was made about Northwest Arkansas's metro being fourth, Jonesboro on the other side of the state 11th. Fort Smith was 34th in that report. That's up.
Yeah, not bad. That's a good, you know, for the Fort Smith region, it's good to build on any positive number you get. Now, this is based on non-farm jobs. Their non-farm jobs rose from about 117,000 last December to a little over 120,000 this December, 2.9% increase. And they did. They moved out of 372 metro areas up to 34 compared to 327 last year. And that's good. So, you know, let's build on that. But the thing to keep in mind is that region's going to have a long ways to go to get back to some economic normals, so to speak, of just a few years ago. Two quick examples. The labor force in November was a little over 132,000. That's down from a little over 140,000 in October 2007. So that's roughly 8,000 people just not in the workforce anymore. The number of employed was just short of 123,000 in November. And that's down from about 132,000, almost 133,000 in November 2007. So that's 10,000 fewer people employed. So good. It's nice to see the region kind of maybe bottoming out and moving back in the right direction, but it's going to have a long way to go to get back to those economic normals.
Finally, the Fort Smith Convention Center reported they had fewer events last year, but the bottom line looked better.
Yeah, the bottom line, you know, of course, we talked many years ago for many months about funding for the convention center for the prepared food tax, but it is good to see the convention center. They did have fewer events, but it is good to see their revenue back. They're moving in the right direction. It's not back to where it was 2 or 3 years ago, but they've had to make some investments, kind of had to change the business model. And, you know, everyone was watching this very close, Kyle, to see if the city could make this work, because the city had promised that, you know, once we get this back under this structure, it'll start doing better. And the city of Fort Smith, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's just the way it is, the city of Fort Smith has not always been able to do what it says it's going to do. So this is one of those areas that has been a positive for the city in terms of operating the convention center.
All right. Well, I think I speak for school superintendents throughout the region that hopefully the next time we talk next Friday, we will not have had any significant snow.
Yes. Well, let's hope that 10 to 12 inch prediction is way off.
Let's hope indeed. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. We have a conversation with him almost every Friday on Ozarks at Large.
In about 8 minutes on Ozarks, bats in Arkansas with white nose syndrome.
Those are the conditions that are appropriate for growing Pseudogymnoascus destructans, which is the fungus that causes white nose syndrome.
That story just ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We've got Lavelle White, Omar Coleman, Dave Riley and Bob Kortor, Grandpa Elliot, Cena Earhart, Pete Anderson, and a few others. And again, that's every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Anthony Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Happy Chinese New Year.
And to you, the year of the horse.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean we're going to have a fast year, a good year? What does
maybe
that mean?
A lucky year?
A lucky
no,
year?
No, that's Year of the Rabbit.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Rabbit, because if you were born Year of the Rabbit, you're considered to be a lucky person.
Oh, okay.
I wonder how I know that.
Insomnia and Wikipedia?
Which is Kyle's lot in life. But considering that it's Chinese New Year,
yes,
we're going to go back to my favorite format, column A, column B, and column C.
All right.
Besides, I'm hungry for Chinese food. So we'll get this done and have some Chinese food.
I like it.
Column A is music.
Uh-huh.
Influenced by Kevin Kinder, who is the music writer for What's Up, we have these choices for music this weekend. Sean James.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been in Fayetteville for a couple of years now, and he's created a band called The Shapeshifters. They've had several tours and three EPs and a new EP that just came out called Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
He'll embark on a multi-state tour with two shows this weekend, one at 10 o'clock tonight at Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville, and one at 9 o'clock tomorrow night at Webby D's in Fort Smith. And you can get into either one for the really lucky and cheap price of $5.
Very good.
You can find out more in today's What's Up. You might recognize the name Joe Nichols if you're from around here.
Yeah. Rogers native?
Rogers native. He's about your age or a little older, isn't he?
He's older than me.
Okay, well, everybody's older than you. Everybody's also bigger than you, and yeah, that's a whole other thing. Anyway, he had a new hit called
yes.
Sunny in 75 last year, and Kevin says it's going to be sunny in 75 inside Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs tonight.
Okay.
Which sounds like a great plan considering the weather forecast. He will go on stage about 10:30, and the Mark Chapman Band will open about 7.
How much will this set me back?
This is free.
That's a heck of a deal.
It is.
But if you're going, I will say if you
yes.
want to be in the bar area, you need to go earlier to get a good spot.
Oh, yeah.
You can still see because it's an elevated stage.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to be within that bar area and up with the music,
do they still have the
early.
Cool curved tables?
It's been a little bit since I've been there, so I'm not sure.
I liked those, but to get one, you either had to mug somebody or get there early.
Get there early. I suggest just get there early, avoid the cops.
Avoid consternation. All right, Dr. Lonnie Smith is performing this weekend on the jazz organ.
Yes, he is.
Two shows.
He's been on more than 70 albums.
Oh, yeah. It's a who's who whom he's played with.
With people like Marvin Gaye and Cannonball Adderley and, yeah. And he will be on stage at the Walton Arts Center at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Tickets are $26.
Yeah. First time he's played in Arkansas, by the way.
Wow. 443-5600. And Jeff Fox and The Man, in celebration of their 1,000th show together, Man on the Wall, will perform a free show Saturday at JJ's Grill in Fayetteville. That's at 8:30. And they expect to see Jed Clampett join in the festivities.
Oh, fun.
That will be a lot of fun.
So that's column A. We're not done yet.
Okay, all right.
Column B is family fun. Still Awake Still.
One night only, tonight.
Based on a bedtime book called I'm Still Awake Still, which I must find because Amanda and I don't know that one. It's about the queen of sleep, Miss Ivory Tinklefinger, mm-hmm. trying to get the children to go to sleep. And showtime is 7 o'clock tonight at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Speaking of bargains, $6.
Heck of a deal.
Yeah. There's a Cool Cats Art Workshop tomorrow at the Community Creative Center in Fayetteville. It starts at 10 o'clock, and it's for young artists 7 and older to do cat-themed art in the vein of Laurel Birch. That's $25, and you can register at 571-2706. And then there's the one-man Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I'm going. I'm very excited.
Oh, I want to go. I have to be in Kansas City tomorrow. But
I'll tell you all about it.
Please. Shows at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, 40 characters, and things like the Battle of Helm's Deep, created by one man. I'm exhausted thinking about it.
I always like the one-man shows. They're really funny.
This is 4 and 8 o'clock tomorrow at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville, and tickets start at $19. And Column C is theater.
Of course.
And I tell you, we are about to gear up for...
Oh, glory.
February is chock full.
Oh, yeah. Although there was some comment at my office the other day about, does it worry you that the Valentine's Day show at the Arts Center of the Ozarks is Death Trap, and the Valentine's Day show at Rogers Little Theater is a miserable...
And there's another one. I can't remember what, but there's a third one that's going on.
Yeah.
That's also Valentine's Day Theater is all about mayhem, darkness.
A little bit of sadness.
Yeah. Quite by coincidence.
But neither of these things is about that.
Good.
I Love Lucy live on stage.
I'm going. I'm so excited.
You know what's going to be like radio theater?
Yes, I'm very excited. It was a Christmas present for my grandmother. So cool. We're taking her. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have live commercials and jingles, and the Ricky Ricardo band will perform.
Yay.
And then two episodes. It's like you're there for the filming.
Oh, cool.
And two episodes, The Benefit, which is from season one, and Lucy Has Her Eyes Examined from season three. In The Benefit, Ethel asks Lucy to ask Ricky if he can sing at a benefit, and, you know, Lucy gets in the middle of it.
What?
And in the other one, it turns out that Ricky needs to have his eyes examined, but probably anybody who's a fan knew that.
Yeah.
Showtimes are 7 o'clock Tuesday through Thursday, 8 o'clock next Friday, and 2 and 8 next Saturday, wrapping up with a 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday the 9th. Tickets start at $29. And in Fort Smith, one night only, Man of La Mancha.
Ah.
Jack Currington, who is playing Don Quixote, says he was influenced when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. He remembers Ted Kennedy speaking and using these "some men see things as they are and say why. I dream of things that never were and say why not." And he says he's lived his life by that. He was an impressionable 15-year-old, and so Don Quixote really speaks to him. Should be fun. He's been in TV, commercials, and film, and is returning to the stage for this very short run. They finish up April 1.
Oh, wow. Where is this again?
One show only, 7:30 Tuesday at Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith, and tickets start at $32. Happy gorging.
There you go.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. Wildlife officials have now confirmed that white-nose syndrome is killing cave-dwelling bats in Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
White-nose syndrome was first discovered in 2006 in eastern New York State after wildlife biologists began noticing hibernating bats emerging from caves in the dead of winter, disoriented and dying by the thousands. Their wings and snouts were covered with a strange powdery white fungus, which roused them from winter torpor. Since then, the fungus has spread to 22 states and 5 Canadian provinces. Arkansas is now the 23rd state. Dr. Jeremy Coleman is National White-Nose Syndrome Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says Ozarks caves can serve as fungus incubators.
In a cave system, they're wet and they're cold, and those are the conditions that are appropriate for growing Pseudogymnoascus destructens, which is the fungus that causes white-nose syndrome.
The disease was documented in 2 northern long-eared bats that were among a half a dozen bats found dead January 11th in a Marion County cave managed by the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission. Last July, several caves tested positive for the fungus. A private cave in Baxter County and at Devil's Den State Park west of Winslow, where 60 caves are located. Arkansas is a cave-rich state, experts say, with more than 3,000 caves. To try to stem this spread in Arkansas, the U.S. Forest Service closed more than 800 caves 6 years ago, followed by the National Park Service along the Buffalo National River. Devil's Den State Park followed suit, closing its popular cave system in 2009. And a year later, the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission and Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission closed their caves to public access. While fungal spores can be carried into caves by humans on clothing, boots, and equipment, Jeremy Coleman says that white nose syndrome is transmitted primarily bat to bat.
But additional disturbance from humans is also a concern, and also is warrants our monitoring and management of sites to prevent unneeded disturbances to affected bat populations.
New swab sampling kits that employ non-lethal sampling methods are being delivered to cooperating state agencies to test winter bat hibernacula.
These are molecular techniques that involve PCR, which is polymerase chain reaction. It's a tool that is used to amplify DNA of, in this case, the fungus, and help us to identify the presence of the fungus, in many cases, before we even see signs of the disease.
Leading to earlier diagnosis. Last summer, what was thought to be the causal fungus, Geomyces destructans, was reclassified as Pseudogymnoascus destructans, fungi taxonomy experts cited, as a non-native invasive organism. White nose syndrome is common in Europe, where it doesn't kill bats. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is the lead agency in a coordinated national response to white nose syndrome, a crisis, making available millions of dollars in research funding to universities and state and federal agency partners, more than 100 to date.
Certainly for mammalian species, this is something that we have not encountered before, and federal and state agencies are taking this very seriously. We're doing the best that we can with resources that are available to us. And we have made incredible progress within the past 5 or 6 years that we've been working on this disease.
Arkansas is home to 16 bat species. Several are federally listed as endangered, including the Indiana bat, the gray bat, and Ozark big-eared bat. White nose syndrome is associated with a massive die-off of bats in the northeastern and mid-Atlantic states, with declines as high as 97% in some places. Last count, an estimated 5 million bats have perished from the disease, but Jeremy Coleman expects the mortality rate to continue to rise.
The disease has not been confirmed in Minnesota or Wisconsin or Iowa, but Iowa and Minnesota have, there were multiple sites in those states that have been found with what appears to be evidence of the causative fungus. And so it is likely that those are locations where the disease will turn up next. And it is also likely that unless we come up with something, that if the fungus will continue to spread and the disease will affect bats throughout North America.
The Center for Biological Diversity says that bats provide non-toxic pest control services for both agricultural crops and humans, valued at $53 billion annually. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
There are a couple of libraries in our area that are working on expanding, including the Siloam Springs Public Library. Last week, the Board of Directors voted unanimously for the Option A conceptual design for the new library. One of the characteristics that distinguishes this design from the other two options is an inverted roof. Holland Hayden, Communication Director for the City of Siloam Springs, says now that a design has been selected, they can move forward with the next step in creating this future structure. The current library has a number of issues that will be resolved with the new building.
Currently, it sits in a floodplain. It is all glass, basically. All the windows are glass, and they're just running out of room. They're running out of a lot of room for programming, for material storage, for everything. The library is just way too small.
This project is the result of a partnership between the city and the nonprofit group Friends of the Siloam Springs Library. The city provided the site for the new building as well as the parking lot across the street. The green space used to be the site of the old hospital, which has since been torn down. While the parking lot is across the street from where the new library will be located, Hayden says they will have ADA-compliant parking on the same side of the street as the library. In addition to the site, the city has also given $2 million to the project. It's now up to the Friends of the Siloam Springs Library to raise the remaining $2 million. Hayden says the new library will be more than twice the size of the current one. The new building will be 18,500 square feet, and while that's larger than the old building, it's less than the 22,000 square feet design that was discussed at one point.
The reason for that is because we wanted to make sure that the finishings and everything that was inside the library was of really high quality. If the space is laid out correctly, 18,500 is still going to be above and beyond the need for space in this library, again, as long as it's laid out properly and it's utilized correctly.
Hayden says the new library will have areas for teens and children, as well as a back porch and an outdoor reading room. For more information, you can visit siloamsprings.com/departments/library.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Monday night, February 10th, an evening of music that has seemingly all the necessary details for a great night of entertainment. The lineup includes Adam Cox of Cletus Got Shot, Still on the Hill, Dana Louise of Heirloom, and others singing the songs of Pete Seeger. And it's free. The music begins at 6 at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, Monday night, February 10th.
Also free next month is an appearance by stand-up comedian Pete Holmes on the University of Arkansas campus. He's the host of The Pete Holmes Show on TBS. It follows the Conan O'Brien Show. And he's a frequent guest on programs on Comedy Central. He'll be on campus as the guest of University Programs Thursday, February 13th at 8 p.m. The show is free for U of A students who have paid the activity fee and have their student ID card. Free seating for the general public is contingent on the seating availability and will be on a first-come, first-served basis.
The Bentonville Public Library will mark the Year of the Horse tomorrow afternoon at 2. There will be traditional Chinese music, a martial arts demonstration that will include the lion dance, and arts and crafts for children, including the creation of a Chinese lantern and Chinese zodiac mass. All of the events are free and open to the public, and again, they begin tomorrow afternoon at 2.
There are a few chances to see college teams in action this weekend, mostly on the University of Arkansas campus. The Razorback indoor track season continues today and tomorrow with the Razorback Team Invitational in the Randall Tyson Track Complex. The meet is already underway today and begins tomorrow morning at 11. The Razorback gymnastics team, ranked 10th in the nation, hosts conference rival Auburn tonight at 7 in Barnhill Arena. The Arkansas swimming and diving team hosts Vanderbilt and Kansas tomorrow morning at 11 at the U of A Natatorium. The Razorback women's tennis team is at home Sunday morning at 11, facing Oklahoma State and Oral Roberts University. And the Razorback women's basketball team hosts Auburn Sunday afternoon at 2 in Bud Walton Arena.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. On the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, I'll kick off the show with an exclusive interview with Dr. Lonnie Smith, master of the Hammond B3 organ. He'll be performing with his trio here in Fayetteville February 1st, and I was able to reach him at his home in Florida. He'll discuss his beginnings in the music back in the early 60s, his work with George Benson and Lou Donaldson and more. I'll also feature some brand new CDs just in from Tim Haggerty, Barry Elms, and Rotem Savan. All this and more on Shades of Jazz this Friday at 10.
The Sons of Otis Malone. Four musicians from Siloam Springs with a tendency to write and play great music. Their new CD, Bad Country, includes a half dozen original songs and the right amount of mandolin, dobro, guitar, and lap steel, among other instruments. This week, Ben Bergstrom, Travis Cheney, David Farley, and John Kendall came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play and to talk. Their music has roots in bluegrass, folk, and real country music. Ben Bergstrom, one of the sons of Otis Malone, says he came to these older forms of music after he came to Arkansas.
It's not that old for me, no, that I've been listening to the music. As long as I've been playing, I guess, I've been listening. But I grew up in Northern California, so moving to Arkansas is probably when I kind of started, you know, feeling a little more country. But it did. That being said, it has come very naturally, you know.
Well, Travis, in these songs, I can hear Hank Williams, yeah. Tom T. Hall. I mean, there's a storytelling going on here.
The very first song on there, the Country Music Singers, How They Linger, that's, I think, one of the only semi-autobiographical ones on there. It really was my dad growing up. He had Hank Williams Jr.'s family tradition confused with the gospel song Precious Memories. And I always thought that that was those two mixed together was the perfect country song, because it was the sacred and the profane just right there next to each other, and they didn't seem to be that bothered. So,
well, yeah, and you look at country music's history from Hank Williams to Johnny Cash to Merle Haggard and George Jones. Those go together.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
it's carrying on the tradition.
I think I really started getting into it maybe when I was 15 or 16. And my dad listened to a lot of different kinds of music, not just country music, but that was one that stuck, I guess.
Well, country music singers, how they linger. Singer, but he wouldn't in the choir. He just sang for the joy was in his heart. Thought he sang in the church house, and he sang down at the bar. Sometimes I don't think he could keep the two apart. He sang country music singers, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul.
Tell me, Hank,
why do you drink?
Oh, son.
Thought Daddy was getting smart, but I think Dad was generally confused. And the fellas at the bar never let him get very far when he sang rock bass to the tune of Lovesick Blues. He sang country music singers, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul.
Tell me, Hank,
why do you drink?
Oh, Hank,
why do you roll smoke? In the dark, there were churchmen drinking coffee, there were barflies swilling beer. We all sung along, cause we knew the words by heart. We all sang country music singers, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul.
Tell me, Hank,
why do you drink?
Oh, Hank,
why do you roll smoke?
I don't know if I have a favorite musical instrument, but in the top three is lap steel.
Yeah, me too. I love it. There's just nothing else like it. I mean, violin's kind of close, but it's so vocal. You can do so much with it that you can't do with like a guitar or, you know, mandolin, which those are great too. But I love playing slide. It's so cool.
Well, you come, David Farley, with just on this CD, your credits include dobro, banjo, lap steel, and electric guitar. Do you just see something and say, oh, that's shiny, I'm going to learn how to play it?
I force it upon them. Yeah, you know, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do today. Yeah, you guys. But no.
Tell them how you learned to play the dobro.
No, yeah. I grew up playing guitar, you know, probably since I was 14 or so. And then towards the end of college, I broke my wrist, my right wrist, and so I couldn't play anymore. And, well, but that's all I really wanted to do, among other things in college. And so I had a big cast on, and it was the big 90-degree angle kind of thing. And so I went and bought a steel bar because I could still get, you know, something around my finger. And I started playing my guitar in my lap like that. I just tuned it to an open chord and would slide around. It sounded terrible. But after my wrist healed, I kind of kept doing that here and there. And before too long, I got the hang of it, and I could finally get the feel down. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I need to keep doing this. And that's actually about the time I got into bluegrass and old country and stuff like that. I had a friend in Branson that introduced me. He's like, you're playing dobro. I had never heard of that. And so, yeah, and now I've got quite a few dobros. But yeah, it's a good story.
The second song on the CD you're going to play also in here, Good Woman. Mm-hmm. That's a good country song. You mentioned that country music singers, how they linger, is autobiographical. Good Woman, just...
Well, it, you know, I think I wrote it before I got married, so it was when I was really looking, you know. And thankfully I found what I was looking for. So I think part of it, I feel like there were a lot of stereotypical images of what a woman's supposed to be. And so I wanted to try in some ways to maybe counteract that a little bit, but still couch it in like a country song where you wouldn't really expect it. But
well, I'm glad you bring that up, because what these songs do is lean on tradition but don't use cliche as a crutch. And is that difficult to do?
It is, because they come, you know, cliches come so naturally. So,
and I'm thinking of there's that wonderful lyric, that wonderful sequence in Bad Country Songs. And if you grew up in rural Arkansas or rural, probably anywhere, you can relate to this. But we sang Bad Country Songs, but then the kicker is not ironic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to say now that whatever the bad music was you were listening to and getting together and singing out loud, oh, but we knew.
Right, right.
But no, this is a passionate, heartfelt.
Yeah, and truthfully, that one was autobiographical too. And I met my wife, and I was taking her out to the farm to plant watermelons. And we were, you know, it was cliche almost. You know, we were just driving down the back road, the window was down the truck, and there was a bad country song on the radio, and we were both singing it, and yeah, we weren't ashamed. It felt really natural and heartfelt, and I thought, yeah, she doesn't care, I don't care, this is it.
Do you want to?
She's the one.
Do you want to identify what that bad country song was?
It was Grundy County Auction by John Michael Montgomery. There, I'm sold to the lady in the second row. She's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10. I know she got really good. That one.
Ben, you mentioned you grew up in Northern California.
That's right.
How'd you get to Siloam?
I moved with family, and then ended up, I was working construction and met some people that went to John Brown University, and that's where Travis and I met, and I, yeah, started going to school there, and now I stay, yeah, it's great.
you're planted?
Yes, very much so, uh-huh. I'm married, and my wife works for downtown Siloam Springs, and we're in downtown Siloam Springs, and
she runs downtown.
Yeah, we're very, very planted. It's wonderful.
David, you raised your hand. You raised your hand when I asked if you grew up in Arkansas or from Arkansas. Whereabouts?
In Siloam. Yeah,
lifetime Panther.
My family's been there. Yeah, my family's been there for 4 or 5 generations, I think, something like that. Same dirt road.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I grew up. Awesome place.
I grew up two houses down, which is, you know, half a mile from the same where my grandpa was born, and that house is still technically standing, but you know, we've been there for a while. Yeah.
Okay. The picture on the cover of the CD,
yes.
The CD is Bad Country. This is a wonderful picture. It looks as if There are three gentlemen listening to maybe a crystal radio set, or
John? Yeah, they the old man on the right is actually my great great grandpa.
This gentleman here in the overalls, on the right.
All right, yeah, that's Klaus Palmquist. He's my great great grandpa.
Great name,
Palmquist.
Yeah,
we should change our name to this.
I think the guy on the left is his son. Klaus. I can't remember his name, and the guy in the middle was visiting from Sweden. And they're listening to a crystal radio set, and it's funny because I when my mother saw the CD cover, she thought we had photoshopped in the headphones and everything, but that's all original to the photo.
You have a regular standing gig at 28 Springs, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Every Tuesday night.
It's the genesis for this group that's around this table right now, because they asked when they were opening, they wanted music on several nights during the week, and they wanted they asked Travis and I to play, and we had another guy who was playing with us then, and so since we kept doing that, we just kept playing, and then we were like, we really need some more people to play with us, and that's
kind of how we formed the band.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And 28 Springs hasn't had the heart to turn us away.
That's right.
We just keep showing up.
What time do you start every Tuesday night?
8 o'clock
until 10.
Ten, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No cover?
No cover.
Oh, no. No, but, we prefer if you buy something when you're there.
Sure. If people haven't been to Siloam for a couple of years, they might be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Poor John's there. You got That's 28 right. Springs. Mm-hmm.
Cafe on Broadway.
Yeah.
Fratelli's Pizza downtown.
What's going on?
Well, there's a lot of momentum. And in the past, 5 to 8 years, there have been some serious investment dollars from some, some contractors and some families that have lived in town for a long time that, were tired of seeing downtown so many buildings and so much potential that was, just not being used. And they had vision. It's that there were, lots of people that had a vision, and they've been able to really get some momentum, and it's wonderful to be a part of. And like I said, my wife, Meredith, she's executive director for Main Street Siloam Springs, and Main Street is kind of at the hub for a lot of that energy. But, of course, there's many, many people that are a part of it.
We've heard about planting watermelons on a dirt road, growing up 2.5 miles from where your grandfather grew up.
Yeah.
Your great-grandfather's name again was?
Klaus Palmquist.
Klaus Palmquist. You guys had to become a band. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was written in the stars.
Well, let's hear some music.
All right.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thanks for herself, she don't go around talking bad about everybody else. Oh, I'm a good woman, one who's educated, but knows their life's been chasing a dime, just plain overrated. Oh, I'm a good woman, want a woman who's satisfied with digging in the dirt by her loving man, just sitting by the riverside. So I'm getting out of America and I'm going back to Arkansas. Gonna find a good woman living in the woods and farm with my daddy-in-law. Gonna find a good woman living in the woods and farm with my daddy-in-law. Woman who will never grow old, though she grow chin whiskers and she grow gray hair, she keep young down in her soul. Oh, good woman, one who when her cheeks are faded has still got coals burning in her eyes, a desire that can never be sated. So I'm getting Arkansas. Gonna find a good woman living the woods and farm with my daddy-in-law. Gonna find a good woman living the woods and farm with my daddy-in-law. Lord! Oh, a good woman who will bear our baby child. Then we'll raise her together, Lord, we'll raise her up meek and wild. Oh, good woman, and I hope she wants me too. We'll drive the back roads when we're 60 years old and love like we used to do. So I'm getting out of America and I'm going back to Arkansas. Gonna find a good woman with my daddy-in-law. Gonna find a good woman live in the woods and farm with my daddy-in-law. Good God!
The sons of Otis Malone, John Kendall on bass, Travis Cheney on guitar, Ben Bergstrom on mandolin, and that was David Farley with dobro and banjo, and he'll play lap steel on another song that we'll hear Sunday morning at 9 on Weekend Ozarks at Large on KUAF. Their latest CD is titled Bad Country. The band plays every Tuesday night at 28 Springs in downtown Siloam Springs. Their webpage, sonsofotismalone.com.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Mina.
Good old Mina.
Good old Mina. Last weekend at this time, mm-hmm. you told me you had about a million things to do.
I did.
Did you go to the chocolate?
The chocolate feast?
Yes.
I did.
Was it good?
It was good.
All right. Did you go to hockey?
I went to hockey.
Against Eastern Illinois?
Yes.
A Division II team.
Razorbacks won.
Big, right?
9-3.
That's big in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you were going to...
I went to the Walk a Mile in Your Shoes sale for Ozark Guidance at Arvis Ballpark.
All right.
I didn't get any shoes, but...
But you
yeah.
looked.
I looked. Yeah, okay. I looked.
This weekend.
Oh, man. I have a couple of parties tonight, birthdays and going aways and things like that. In the morning, I'll be speaking to the Lemke Journalism Project kids. That's the thing I do every year where mm-hmm. Local high school students get up on Saturdays, bless their heart, and come to the University of Arkansas. And we sort of teach them a little bit about journalism. They get to write stories and they create a whole newspaper that gets printed. And, you know, some of them will get to take pictures and learn how to use the studio equipment in the television station on campus. So a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And then in the evening, I will go to the one-man Lord of the Rings at the Walton Arts Center. And then on Sunday, of course, the Super Bowl. I'll be watching lots of commercials.
There you go. I've already seen some of those commercials.
I've tried not to because I want to, like, actually enjoy it during the show because I know people have been talking about it and you can get them ahead of time and all that stuff. I will say I have seen the Anna Kendrick not Super Bowl for Newcastle.
I watched that this morning.
It was really funny.
It's very funny. The Foot Locker Week of Greatness.
Foot Locker Week of Greatness.
Is hilarious.
Is that also going to be on there, or that's something that's a not one?
I think it's going to be on the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And you're going to watch and say, how did they get those two people to do that?
Ooh, okay.
Two famous people.
Okay. I'm excited.
We have a history.
All right. Oh.
Christina Thomas and I will be on Sunday morning at 9 with Weekend Ozarks at Large before the Super Bowl.
Before the Super Bowl.
And you have the show Monday.
I have the show Monday.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Under Us. This was an early morning at Devil's Den last weekend. You'll hear Lee Queek and the birds overhead.
Have a good weekend.